Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Tim Zimmer bringing us back with Toto. Hold a line, and I wonder what's going to happen with the Democrats and the Republicans and holding a line as it relates to the Build Back Better bill. But first, I'll look at the forecast. Highs today of 72. It is Wednesday, November 24th, day 87 of the Ida recovery. Archie Chasson and Lafourche Parish saying there are still at least 1,800 families without a roof over their head. And this far into the recovery from Ida, that to me is a disgrace that it happened in this country, that it's happening in this country. But Lake Charles went through it, and we don't seem to be learning anything. Highs of 72 today. Afternoon showers tomorrow will be the warmer day, the warmest day of the next 7 days. As a matter of fact, Thanksgiving, unfortunately, highs of 76. Then the front comes through. Black Friday, chilly and breezy, highs of 59. On Friday, then Saturday, plenty of clouds and highs of 58, so it's going to feel even cooler than that. Lingering clouds Sunday, highs of 62, and then the week gets off to a start in the mid to upper 60s for Monday and Tuesday. David Schultz joins us now, professor of political science at Hamline University, our friend, where I believe, David, it's the same temperature as it is here, about 47 degrees. Is that what you're
absolutely? It's absolutely correct, and it's going to be dropping all day. So tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day, it'll be about 24 degrees. But we're actually having a warm November so far. Yesterday was about 55 and sunny, clear, crisp, beautiful day. So for us, that's actually very, very nice this time of the year.
It's hard to believe that we both have the same temperature, 47 degrees. But anyway, that's not going to be the case tomorrow because it could go up to 76 here. Let's talk about this Build Back Better bill. Where exactly is the Congress now? Are they on Thanksgiving recess? When do they come back? And how much actual work is going to get done between now and the end of the calendar year?
Okay, so first, the House did pass the Build Back Better bill, and it's now awaiting Senate action at this point. My guess is nothing's going to happen probably until they come back from the Thanksgiving recess, unless something has changed overnight. I think Senate is going to probably sit on it a few days. And at this point, it's not completely clear still if it's going to clear the Senate. There's at least Joe Manchin and Kristen Sienna from she's from Arizona, he's from West Virginia, who have a variety of concerns about it. So the Democrats need all 50 votes from the Democrats and then the vice president to be able to pass it. And so right now, I think it's kind of hanging, going through a bunch of negotiations at this point. Even if the Senate passes it, unless it passes it in identical form to the House, it's going to have to go back to the House again for a final vote. So we still have a little ways to go if it's going to pass. My gut instinct is that I think some version of it's going to pass. Exactly how big and what it's going to look like, I don't know. I think something will happen on it.
I know I saw a story that said they had to give it a bird bath, which relates to the senator and the rules of the Senate. Can you go into that a little bit as far as what they can include in reconciliation and what they can't, and who is the arbiter of that?
Okay, so it's going to be ultimately the Senate parliamentarian that decides what's considered to be germane or relevant in terms of the reconciliation bill. The reconciliation, we'll back it up and say that most legislation in the Senate is subject to the filibuster rule. However, back in 1974, Congress passed a budget act, and it said that for the most part, the filibuster still applies. But when it comes to budgetary items such as taxes and other kind of expenditure issues, you merely need a majority of the Senate, and that's really sort of where the question becomes. What is it? What's related to taxes or budgetary issues? And what's been happening? And by the way, this goes back to the Trump administration did it too, so that both sides get to be sort of indicted on this here. Is that The Senate tries to cram as much in into what they call budget taxes as a way of moving things through. So Obama used what? Reconciliation to get the Affordable Act through. Trump administration used his big tax cuts to get through a lot of stuff. Biden's going to probably do the same thing here and try to do it. So again, both sides are equally guilty. So we can annoy both the Republicans and Democrats, you know, in the process by making that statement. But that's really the question you're asking here: how much can you jam into it? And so, what's the difference between spending or taxes versus policy? Is an incredibly fine line.
We take a break. We'll pick it up here. I know immigration. They're going to try to do something with immigration and with this, and you got to wonder, well, how does that really apply to spending? We'll talk about it when we come back. Also, I'd like to know historically, when we return, David, who passed this the bill in 74, whatever it was, making reconciliation possible? Because when you're in power, you think you want it, but then when the other side's in power, you don't think you want it. And I was just wondering, whose idea was it then, and how's it worked out since? Build Back Better is going to cost the nation a ton of money. What's going to be in it? Well, they're trying to figure that out right now, and I have a feeling that this is building toward a maybe some kind of Christmas Eve vote like they had with the Affordable Care Act, and we'll get David's take on that as well when we come back. 621 and a half, WWL First News Time. Let's look at traffic. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Wednesday, November 24th, day 87 of the Ida recovery. 1,800 people, 1,800 families in Lafourche Parish still without a roof over their heads, and I know it's going to be the same in Terrebonne Parish and some other harder-hit areas, and it's just a shame the government can't do more than that. And people in southwest Louisiana still suffering from the effects of last year, hurricanes, flood, freeze, and more. We're talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. David, you know, I can't help but wonder while they fiddle mess around with what's, you know, in the budget and what's in this bill and what's not, they still got people in southwestern Louisiana that have blue roofs on their the tarps on their houses, and they're having a hard time putting their life back together after, man, they had biblical plagues last year, mm-hmm. with freezes and floods and hurricanes, and the people here after Ida still suffering. How does that fall through the cracks? How does the spending on things that where people in a country really need the help due to a natural disaster, that goes by the wayside, and they try to cram things like immigration in there and so forth that really have nothing to do with spending?
Yeah, I mean, part of it, I hate to say it, is sort of, you know, sometimes organizations are too big, I'm going to say too big to care or too big to figure out the details. Some of it is about the fact that, again, I don't know, you know, the people in those areas. And so you have to pardon me if I say anything here, but I suspect these are relatively powerless people with not a lot of voice in the political process. And, you know, what's the old phrase, the squeaky wheel gets the oil or something like that? You know, my guess is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that these are probably, again, people who are not getting the attention of the political process, of their legislators, or let's say maybe members of Congress or something, because typically what you're hoping members of Congress will do is somebody will call them and say, I've got a problem with like FEMA, or I got a problem with the Small Business Administration. And what our elected representatives are supposed to do, 80% of their job is supposed to be constituent service. You know, when, you know, I call up and I complain and say, Grandma, I didn't get my Social Security check. That's what they're supposed to do, is help my grandma get the Social Security check. So I suspect for people like you and me, we can make those calls and we'll get some action. Again, please correct me if I'm wrong. These may be individuals can't do that.
I think it's they say that I asked the political leaders what's going on, and they say that Steve Scalise and the other, I mentioned him because he's one of the ranking members of the delegation, obviously, that they listen to him and they make the calls and they've been very helpful, but still the results are not there. And I understand the political pressure goes both ways, where you can't trash the guy in your own party, but it just seems like if you deal in results, the results are not there. Let me get back to the Build Back Better bill here and immigration. Sure. What are they trying to do with immigration as it relates to this?
Well, they're trying to figure out a way of sneaking that into that Build Back Better and calling it part of reconciliation. You know, from my, this is just my perspective here, I don't think immigration is a budgetary and tax issue. Yes, technically everything the government does costs money, but we would call that policy, you know, that we want to change, or let's say Congress wants to change the policy regarding who gets admitted or doesn't get admitted to the United States, or who qualifies for citizenship. And while, yes, there's dollars involved there, that's policy. I mean, at the end of the day, that's making, you know, decisions about, again, about substantive issues of who is entitled to get across our borders. I don't know about you. I have a hard time figuring out how that's purely about dollars, cents, and taxes. I mean, unless you see something that I don't see.
No, I'm right there with you. You have to come back because we're running out of time here. And I want to talk about Medicare as well, because it seems as though if you're going to take care of the elderly population, vision and dental should be a part of that. But that's not as important. Or I guess maybe people figure that are on Medicare are not going to be here much longer, and or for the most part, in terms of a voting block, let me clean that up. And that's why perhaps that's not as important to them. David, I hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful that you come on and talk to us.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody in your part of the world, and good luck to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy your cold weather tomorrow while we're sweltering in 76. Well, maybe not.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.